Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Today on the podcast, we have Raina Pomeroy. She is the founder of Raina & Co. She is a life and business success coach, and she helps right-brained, heart-centered women just be their best selves. And we have loved Raina for a long time. We mentioned in the podcast that we actually knew Raina and like hung out with Raina prior to Emily and I even going into business together. And then last year had an opportunity to finally meet her in person at two of the conferences we went to. So it's been a really awesome journey. We've been able to watch Raina's business grow and prosper and vice versa. And so we definitely have a really personal connection with her. But I'm excited for you to hear about the amazing things we jumped into in this podcast.
Yeah, we're talking about something that might make some of you cringe, but I really want you to stick around for this one because the unique perspective Raina brings to sales funnels is actually really, really good. Like Abby said, she works with a lot of creatives, so she knows how our brains work, and she kind of created a new method for thinking about bringing our clients and our customers and our audience on a journey with us and how to, you know, set that up to where it makes sense and where you're profitable and where you're giving away great content. We ask her the question of what does she think when people say they're worried about giving away too much for free? We ask her the question, what comes first, the free content or the paid content, and how do you fill the spaces in between? So there's some really great material covered today. I can't wait for you to give it a listen. Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are super excited. We have our friend Raina on the show today. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We are pretty pumped. I haven't talked to you in like a year.
I know,
but it's been so long. I mean, we hang out in the online world and it's fine, but we got to meet in person at Savvy last year, holy moly, which was incredible. It's so fun getting to meet your online friends in person. And you are one of those people, as I'm sure many people have told you, you are exactly how you are online and in person. Oh, really so welcoming, sweet. Really warm, really approachable and easy to talk to. So if you guys don't know Raina, she's going to drop her links at the end of this, and we have show notes and we have like all sorts of places for you to go hang out with her, but she's a good gem. She's a good one.
We have a fun like origin story too. You both and myself. I have a picture of all three of us on a Google Hangout back in the day when we were chatting. I can't even remember from where, but
probably before Emily and I were partners.
Yes, it was before you guys were partners because you guys were doing that webinar, or Abigail, you were doing that webinar, I think.
Yeah, I came in and saved her life about it. Love it. Yeah, because you were in our – were you in our little social –
Yes. I can't – archery group or something?
Yes. Yeah. So you guys, the little pod that we tell you guys about, of the pod that we were together when Abby and I met, and you had to post up your target audience, and other people who had similar target audience kind of got put into this pod, and we would go comment on each other's Instagram, go share, go like tag people just to help boost engagement and like help open the doors to get visible. Raina was also in that group. So that's so funny. I forget about that all the time.
Yep. It's like the original Instagram pods.
It is. Yes, we started it out before it was a thing, and it worked really well.
It was very awesome.
And, you know, leads to partnerships and stuff. No big deal. Just a side effect.
love.
I'm excited to talk to you today a bit about we want to totally rename it, by the way.
Yeah.
The icky thing that I'm about to say that you're all going to cringe and go, no.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about sales funnels. But Raina has a really cool method that she's developed called the verticals method. And I want to jump into that today and really dive deep into how that can help you build a funnel and all the things it's going to do for you and your business. So first, for those people who are like, what the French toast is a sales funnel, can you explain what most people think of as a funnel and some of the basics behind the method you've created?
Yeah, so I think people freak the heck out about sales funnels because it's like this very hyped up thing that you have. It's very, very complicated. Somebody comes into your funnel. There's an opt-in. There's like a billion different emails and pieces, and you have to send them to this thing and then that thing. And then maybe they pop out and give you some money. Like, that's kind of like how it feels to hear the conversations about funnels. And I have a very simplified way of talking about it. And it also has a couple different ways that I think benefits people in terms of visibility and also in terms of organization of our intellectual property. So diving into verticals, the reason I named it this was because back in the day when people used to read actual newspapers, there's like, you know, the business section and the comic section and the, I don't know, this other thing. These sections are called verticals, you know, in the newspaper world. And basically in our businesses, we have these verticals. The things that we talk about are these verticals. Right. So maybe you talk about productivity like you guys do, or maybe you talk about styling or whatever the topics are that are like the overarching theme of something that you talk about often and might have a product and some kind of philosophy around. These are what we built these verticals around. And subsequently, they ended up looking like funnels when we built them out for Raina & Co. But honestly, it really started as a way for me to organize my intellectual property, which is anything that you create and put your own stamp on, and then be able to create products around later on down the line. Because we don't want to create any content that doesn't lead to anything that your people can buy, right? And not just like an icky sales tactic, but honestly, people who are wanting to buy are opting into your free stuff want to learn from you. They want to gain knowledge from your thought leadership. And so it's really our responsibility to organize and curate content in a way that serves our people.
So talk to me about how you walk people through this method, or at least where you start. Because I feel like we get the question all the time about, do I start with the thing that I want to sell, or do I start with the thing that I want to give away for free? And how do I meet in the middle? What fills in those gaps?
Yeah. So I think it can be a couple different things. But honestly, it's really about listening to our people. And I think you guys would agree, right? So whether that means you start digging around and like writing free content and giving away free content and seeing, oh my gosh, this is the thing that is really converting, or like, this is the thing that's getting so many eyeballs on it and people are loving it and sharing it organically, that might be a way to indicate, okay, this is getting some traction. I'm going to make some like paid products around it. Or you suggest a paid product, build it as you're getting feedback from people, and then, you know, back it up with a quote unquote funnel. But honestly, it really is just listening to your people and building something out based on what they're really craving, because so many of us have heard the horror story of building something and getting crickets, right? And I think,
and we've done it. We've all done it.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And so like here, and like same with blog posts too. Sometimes I'll be like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And hear absolutely nothing. Or the week after I write something, it's like, okay, this is just, it'll be fine. But people are like, oh my gosh, this was so helpful. And getting that feedback is crucial for being able to know, like, what is it that we need to be spending our energy and time and money on?
Well, and I think thinking of it like that, especially in the way that you word it of like connecting people along the journey with the stuff that you're offering free and paid, I think personally, like, takes a lot of stress off of the idea of like having to create all of these touch points and like what's free and what's paid and what's over here. And even taking the stress out of, what do I blog about? What do I share on social media? Well, what are you offering? And like, how can you take that a step back or take that a step further? And how can you add to that experience? I think so many people stress out, especially about their content calendar and like, how can I produce so much content and what do I even share with them? But if you're really thinking about all of this as that journey, as the funnel or the method, that it's all all incorporated.
Totally. And something that really helps me to think about these verticals too is, yes, I really want to do a content calendar that makes sense for the journey of our clients, right? And so we want to make sure that the verticals are covering the different topics that we typically cover in our business. So it's not like I'm going to start talking about underwater basket weaving tomorrow. I mean, that might be one of my verticals, but it's not for Raina & Co. So what is it that you are consistently getting people's eyeballs about? So yeah, that's kind of like, and for me, when I, this was not something that I created when I was starting. This was something that I had one, I mean, you guys have a bajillion articles, and this is something that, you know, you guys had to do as you combine your businesses. So for me, it was when, I think it was around year one when we figured out, okay, there's so many articles that we are putting out there, but what are the things that are getting the most traction? What are the categories that we really want to lean into more and start creating more products around? And so once we defined our topics, it was easier and to start categorizing each of the free things. So the, let me just break out what the grid looks like. So yeah, I have a freebie if you guys want to share this, but basically it's a grid. It started out super unfancy in a Word document, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 across. I'm sorry, 7 down and then 4 across. So however many topics along the top, each topic has a little vertical, and it goes from free, like free, 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 not even an opt-in, to an opt-in, your small, medium, and large products. And depending on your, depending on your business, whether you're a product-based business or a service-based business, it's going to differ what price points you're at.
Right.
And then the next part is the most important part, I think, the secret sauce. This is your philosophy. What do you believe about this thing? What is the thing that differentiates you and anyone else who talks about this thing? Which is why I believe that there's no competition. If you have your own secret sauce in the way that you talk about it, your branded philosophy, there's no way that anyone who's talking about the same thing can compete with that, right? And there's nothing wrong or right about our secret sauce. It's just that if somebody resonates with it, it just is, right? So that's the sixth thing. And then the last thing is the keynote / teaching points. And even if you're not keynoting or even if you're not speaking in front of large audiences, anytime you want to do visibility, anytime you want to do a guest post, anytime you want to do a visibility spree like podcasts or writing a book or whatever, like anytime you are visible, you want to connect people to this thing, right? And the talking points and the teaching points. So you're not like aimlessly just telling your story and like how Raina got started in her business. That's not what we're trying to go for here. It's really thoughtfully strategic.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the philosophy, because I feel like for people who don't know Raina, Raina's really good at like getting in your head and making you think about things like very hard, like things that you don't even necessarily are aware of. Like they're just subconsciously happening. So if someone says, "What's my philosophy?" I'm going to guess 9 out of 10 people listening to this podcast are like, "What?" I mean, they might like kind of have a why, or they might have something rooting in it, but literally if they're saying, okay, what is my philosophy about this product? What does that mean, and how can you dive into finding that?
I think that there's so many things here. So the first thing I think is just a belief statement. So about this topic. So can we pick something of yours and piece this through?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
What's something that you guys often talk about that you want to just kind of piece out with your audience?
Well, we obviously talk about Trello for Business a lot.
Okay, cool. What are your philosophies about Trello?
That it's going to organize your flipping life and love it forever, because it's just going to make you so much more – you're just going to love it. I don't know how to explain
it. Love it.
What do you think, Emily?
It's going to teach you – it teaches you a new way of organizing your thoughts and your business and every piece that goes into your business, so you can actually like get stuff done and be productive.
Yeah, and what's important about that?
So you can have more time in your day, so you're less hustle frazzled, so you don't get burnt out on your creative talent, so you still are happy about what you do instead of stressed out about what you do.
Totally. I think the secret sauce too is just things that we say, right? Like the way that we talk about stuff. So like you guys say like funny, funky words in your emails, and that's just part of your secret sauce. And like that translates into Trello or anything across the board in the verticals. So that's one thing. So just thinking about the way that we talk about our things, what we believe about things. So like what Emily just said, you know, you're going to have like life time rather than just like hustling and being frazzled and like lost in the sauce. And we're able to be more productive and be more productive at the right things. So that's one way of finding your secret sauce. Another way to find your secret sauce is thinking about what pisses you off about that thing, right? So what pisses you off about what people are saying about Trello?
Yeah, I just did a live about it last night.
I love it. Tell me more.
People who like are so married to a system that's broken. I'm not asking everyone to use Trello, but I am asking you to ask yourself hard questions about where you're spending your time, how you're being effective about your job. And if you still are asking the question, I don't know what I did today, or I don't know what's expected of me to reach my goals, then there's a problem.
Totes.
Yeah. Preach. And I think, you know, on top of that, it's really about, you know, so many people are swimming in just thinking that they don't need a system and that they can just rely on their brains or the piece of paper sitting on their desk.
Oh, dear Lord.
And I mean, I get it because I was that way for a long time. I had a client-based business and I would sit there and literally in the morning go, okay, I need to send this email to this one client. I need to check up on this one thing. And like, I would create a new list every single day for what I needed to accomplish. And it wasn't productive and it wasn't functional. And I wasted so much of my day just trying to like wrap my head around it. And so I think with Trello, like you're going to skip that step altogether, walk in the morning and go, I know exactly what I need to be working on.
Love that. Yeah. So the two things that I would suggest is, what do you believe about this thing? And then the second thing is, what do you get pissed off about? What fires you up about something? And then the last thing is that I typically like to teach is, what is like your superpower in this? So I typically like to name my superpowers so that it's like a branded thing. So Reyna & Co. is the mothership and the brand, but we talk about verticals, and that's something that Reyna & Co. talks about. And we talk about social glue. Social glue is just a fancy way of saying networking with my philosophy attached to it. But so many people talk about networking, right? And when you hear social glue, it's, you know that it's coming from me. And so whenever there's something that's kind of, I don't know, something that a lot of people are talking about, putting your secret sauce on it, adding your philosophy, and then naming it, I think creates a brand new perspective that people can really resonate with and be like, yo, this is different. I like this.
We need to name more of our things.
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of funky words that we use to describe things, but I think they're more around the emotions and not necessarily the thing, the superpower. So I like that. I think that needs to be like homework for us.
So. I love it. Yeah, I think that like you guys have so much intellectual property that you can start naming things and create, and you already have your stamp on it. But when it's like one word, one phrase, one thing that people can be like, oh, this is it, you know, like the coffee chats thing.
Right.
I think I'm not going to claim it, but we started a lot of that in Social Glue Coffee Chats. Everyone calls it coffee chats now, and that's totally fine. And I think that once people can take it and run with it, your stuff has become one with the world, and that's totally fine.
Break booty shakes. There's one.
There you go.
And we have the burrito method. That's another one.
Tell me about the burrito method.
So it's inside the Strategy Academy. It's the way, it's our blueprint for outlining webinars for conversion sales every time. If you follow the burrito method.
We also have the free marry me method, which is essentially a funky way to talk about sales funnels.
Yeah.
And then there's one other one that I can think of, but of course I'm drawing a blank on what it's called. Oh God, never mind. It's fine. I really think, you know, honing in on what those things are and then like making them your thing. I remember we had a guest on the podcast. It was a man.
Yeah.
We have very few.
Yeah.
We have few male.
Four or five dudes on the whole show.
And he talked all about superpowers and like being the superwoman of your life kind of thing, and which was very strange.
He had the superhero method and talked about it. And it was incredible.
But that's awesome. Like, I want to know everything about, like, having the word just made you, like, as geeky and as nerdy as he was, I was just, like, drawn in and, like, the first 15 minutes were a little awkward, but the last 20 minutes of the episode were like golden. Yeah. And I was like, we have to put this out. It's going to be awesome. People are going to love it. So if someone's stuck in the, okay, I barely have a product.
Yep.
I kind of sort of put things out into the world. I'm definitely not ready to call it anything because I don't even feel like it's anything to be worth called anything. Where do you go from there? Because I think so many people are still in that beginning phase.
Yeah, I think so too. And one thing that I would say is that so many of these things are so inherent to us. So something that comes super naturally to either of you or to myself is something that's going to, you know, blow the socks off of somebody else. Yeah. And so what I usually say is what's duh to you is mind-blowing to others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's saying it over and over, doing it over and over, and then coining a term for it, I think is like, I think people need to practice their craft more, right? And if that just means they have to blog more or just put themselves out more or whatever. And Jeff Goins talks about this. He talks about like practicing in public and like showing your work, showing people what you're about and kind of displaying it rather than waiting for it to be perfect. And a lot of people talk about this, but I think showing your work and getting feedback on it will refine your message, refine the thing that's going to resonate with people. And then once you kind of get to this place of, okay, I think people are getting it, and then coin a term from it.
You guys can't see, but I'm like violently shaking my head up and down because we talk about this all the time of people who are like, when, you know, waiting for that mythical ding. We talk about waiting for, that's another term that we've ding. They're just coming out left and right now, and how it doesn't exist, and how like no one is going to swoop in and tell you that opt-in is ready or that blog is ready or that product is
ready. Allowed to publish it now.
Right? You can do it, right? Literally, it takes you doing it in order for you to know what to do differently next time. You can't just sit on an archive of anything, of product, of content, of plans. You have to just do them. But I want to ask you a question that's popped up so much the last couple of weeks in our group, and I want to see what your answer to this is. What do you say to people who are afraid of giving too much away for free so then they won't have anything to sell?
Yeah, I think this is a tricky thing. But if you're at the beginning and you really have no way to get feedback, I think give it away. Get away and then test it. And then once you get enough feedback from people, whether it's a product or like just a free thing or whatever, get that feedback, get some testimonials, get your – and the most important part is getting your confidence to the level that can match a dollar value, and then package it up so that you can have somebody pay for it. I think that's my general philosophy about things. I would rather be generous and get feedback than kind of hoard information, not get any feedback, not get any eyeballs on it, and not make any money.
100%. I think from day one, we decided to be, if in doubt, give it away kind of business. And it comes with the kitchen sink sometimes. And it has been the number one non-regret, like biggest, like I do it over and over and over and over and over again because of the way that it's built our business and our audience and our community. And I think sometimes it feels scary, but I always say to people, if you feel like you're going to give so much away for free that you don't have anything to sell, then you didn't have enough to sell in the first place. Totes. So like, just keep giving it and you will find something. And I think people are also married to the idea of, well, if it was free once, it has to be free forever.
Right.
Like you get to make the rules. You get to decide what's for sale and what's for free. And you can expand upon that, make it a little bit different, make it a little bit better, and slap a price tag on it.
Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
I think it's so funny because I think I used to think, or I keep hearing this, I can't remember which, but you know how like your thoughts change and you're like, did I actually used to believe this? But I used to believe that if I uploaded a video, it would be out there forever and somebody would find it. And if I made it like more costly in the future, then that person would get upset. And I was like, you know what? It makes, if somebody finds it out in the interwebs, good on them. Right. Like go for you, mm-hmm. you know, go for mm-hmm. it. Do the thing. And I hope that the product that I create is more valuable mm-hmm. than just one video.
Because,
right?
Period, right. The stuff I create tomorrow, next week, next month is going to be better than the stuff I create today. Because I'm constantly learning and I'm constantly tweaking, especially in the business model we are in, where we learn something and we turn around and teach it. So like literally, as every day goes by, the stuff I make becomes more valuable. So like just put it out there.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, also, I think people do not, and they can't wrap their heads around this. Okay, the being scared of someone finding your thing. No one literally knows all of the parts and pieces nope. you put out into the world. Nope. They don't see them mm-hmm. all. They don't know
the
about them all.
The internet is kind of big.
And so I think we just have to, a little humbleness behind the things we're doing. And say, even if I think I'm a badass, like other people don't necessarily know all the things that make me mm-hmm. that person.
Totally.
And so you can change the rules at any time. But I think as long as you come from a place of authenticity mm-hmm. and, you know, all of the best intentions, it's not going to matter. Because there's 100% things we've put out for free and then taken parts and pieces of them and put them in a mm-hmm. paid program.
Yep, exactly. And not, people are not paying as close attention as we want them or think that they
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. No, very recently, we had a funnel go out earlier this year and then a funnel that's going out right now to prompt people to sign up for something. And we used the exact same email. I changed maybe 7 words in the entire email. And it was the like, this thing is coming, like check your inbox in the morning. It wasn't any sort of meat. It was just building excitement. And the first time it went good enough to redo again. So we redid it like nearly word for word. And the amount of people who were like, this is the best email I've ever read. And like, I loved it so much. I'm so excited for my email. I'm like, y'all, I sent that email like 5 months ago. It's fine.
Yep, I love it. And you guys have grown your list, and so new people are watching and new eyeballs and all of that stuff. But something I wanted to touch on too is I think that if people are new in this business, they are looking to consume so much information. And I wanted to caution everyone a little bit, like as podcasters, well, I can't speak for you guys, but I'm a podcaster, and sometimes I have to tell people to stop binging.
Yes, like 1,000%.
I love – Thank you for getting us to 500,000 downloads. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I need you to stop listening because you are freaking spinning your wheels and not actually doing anything. And that doesn't help me. That doesn't help you. And I really want you to start thinking more. Yeah. I think I want our audiences to start thinking more and instead of regurgitating information. And so I often talk about the VST technique of thinking through your business. And like, if you don't have a solid vision, you're not going to have a solid strategy. And then any tactics that you put into place aren't going to work, right? So vision, strategy, tactics. So whenever you hear people saying, oh my gosh, my Instagram's not converting, that's a tactic, right? We're not strategizing about things. And that's not tied to any vision. And that's why it's failing. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we slow the heck down to start thinking about, okay, what is actually really important? What do I want to be productive about? And then how do I want to convert my people? Then that's how we really are able to make an impact, whether it's impact in your personal life, right? Like I can be a good mom, or making an impact as in like you can, you know, educate your community, or you can give the best service or create the best products. And I really want to encourage people to just work at your own pace and slow the heck down and use your brain.
Yes, please. Use your brains. That was part of my live last night too. Man. Use your damn brains. Like sometimes the information that you're binging on also isn't going to be custom tailored to your business and your experience. Sit and think about it. Sit and think about how you can use that free knowledge and free strategy that you just got for free. Let me keep saying it was free education. And how can you tweak it to be perfect for you? Think about it. Use your brain.
I really want to urge people, you know, I literally had to take blunt force trauma to get myself to slow down. Yeah. You don't necessarily have to hit a brick wall to make yourself do this, but the enjoyment that has come back, the like literal progress we've made, the revenue goals we've been able to hit when we stopped consuming so much and just focused on implementing in really methodical ways, I've been blown away. Because you think you reach some, I mean, at some point you reach a level and you're like, okay, I did the thing I wanted to do. What next? And then you create new goals and you just move on. And it can seem like this endless cycle of never really reaching anywhere because your destination is always moving. And so enjoying the process a little more and really kind of relaxing into that, which I think brings me to the next thing I want to talk to you about, which is your book. So you're in the middle of writing the book, The Big Plan for the Creative Mind, and it's going to come out around Halloween, which is awesome. So I know, because I know that it's a lot about how people think and the goals setting and all of that. So if you can kind of walk us through what are people going to take away from the book and how has it been really influential in your life writing it?
Yeah, so it's a collaborative book, Big Plan for the Creative Brain, Creative Mind. Whoa,
what's
can't
the name
even say my own title. What is the title? So I'm writing it with Danny Fountain, and we've interviewed 13 incredible entrepreneurs who I think are leaders in their industries, and they're all creatives. And it's really interesting because typically my clients are very right-brained, heart-centered, and I find when the topic of goal setting comes up, they say, it's never worked for me, or how do I make this work? They've come from a really varied background. So traditional corporate jobs to nonprofit to they've always been an artist. And a lot of them resonate with the message that goal setting, the way that they've been taught, whether it's the SMART method or whatever, doesn't really work for them. And I am of the mind that you can be both creative and be an efficient goal setter. And if you don't have a goal, you're not going to make it to your destination, right? So if you're driving from New Mexico to New York, you might end up in Florida without, you know, a real good plan. And I wanted to show people that creatives can be really efficient and hit their goals if, as long as we can lean into the muscle that goal setting can be done really any which way. And so we've interviewed 13 people. We are capturing their stories into sort of best practices. And we both learned along the way what kind of things that we could start implementing in our businesses. But it really is like a CC's Pizza method of planning. So if you haven't been to CC's Pizza, it's just kind of like a buffet style. So we want you to take different pieces of different people's best practices and figure out what is the piece that's going to work for you. So we've had really interesting conversations because it's not about just business goal setting. It's about personal life as well. So how do you plan in your family life? How do you plan in your business life? How do you make the two work? Work together, right? And some people have children, some people have partners, some people are married, some people live in the city, some not. Like, we really wanted to have a really nice scope of interesting stories so that you can see, okay, this is a piece that really works for me. I think I can start trying this out. And we want people to walk away with, like, it's coming out at the end of the year. So we want people to start fresh in 2018 saying, okay, I'm creative and I can be a goal setter.
Yeah. I think that's a big practice of what we teach as well, in the sense that, like, just because we're creative and just because, like, our workspaces might be literal hot messes because that's how we work best, right? Like, I know where all the things are and it's messy or it's dirty or it's disorganized. Like, it doesn't mean that's how your business has to be, and your business cannot function that way. And I think once we kind of check ourselves and give ourselves forgiveness in the sense that that type of behavior is okay and it leads to great masterpieces, right, in all of these other areas of your life, it doesn't necessarily lead to a great masterpiece of a business or stress levels or productivity or anything like that. So kind of separating those two and recognizing that we do have to kind of call on that business hat sometimes and put on the creative hat when we're actually creating products and, like, engagement and, like, communications. But sometimes it is a little bit different when we're striving to build a business and move it forward.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Man, so much good stuff. I'm sitting here just like, man. These people really, really know what they're doing. And I know that sounds so crazy, but I think just sitting here listening to you say, I wrote a book. Like, for a lot of people, a book may be a goal that they have sitting on their desk. Like, I've been thinking about writing a book for 2 years or 10 years or 6 months, or just yesterday I decided I'm going to write a book, right? And they set these goals and they can feel so unattainable. Yeah. And I love that you're taking not only, like, just your approach to how you accomplish things, but all these different people, they're all different, right? Everyone has their own perspective. Everyone has their own way of being methodical. And I'm excited to see all the different ways people are really striving to reach those things. And
I want to know, how does the book fit into your verticals?
Yeah. So one of my verticals is goal setting and productivity. And so it fits right in there. And it was a collaboration book with Danny Fountain, who has done many collaboration books. So she is, like, super expert on this. And we were having lots of conversations around, like, how this really works for her and, you know, how does this fit into her business model? And she was just really gracious in saying, like, you know what, this is something I'd like to learn, and interviewing these people. And we got to talk to a lot of them. And so it was just really fun to be able to say, like, this is a product that I really want to come out with. It's part of my verticals. It really makes sense for my business. And, like, it really is the culmination of the things that I've been learning. One of the chapters is my chapter as well, and, like, how I'm teaching goal setting. And it was really cool to, like, just be next to these people who I find to be thought leaders. I wanted to caveat to something else. So last year I set out to write a different book, and this is illustrative of, like, the fact that you set a goal and you don't actually achieve it, and why it's okay. So for me, I set out this goal to write the Brave Life Manifesto. It's 75% written, and something happened in my personal life and a little bit of, like, my business life as well. And I realized that I needed to do a little bit more living before this book was written and could be complete. And I gave myself a lot of trouble. I feel like I heckled myself a lot for not finishing and just powering through this thing. And I realized that it was making me pretty miserable to, like, finish it slash not finish it. And I couldn't make up my mind about it. And I finally just gave myself permission to put the book on break and pause and say, you know what, this is not the right season for me to finish this book. And I'm okay with whatever happens, whether I end up finishing it in the future or, you know, if it just decides to live on my shelf and is just like a fancy version of a journal. You know, sometimes that happens. I don't know if you guys have had this experience where you've like been so gung-ho about a project and something happens and you just kind of stop in your tracks. And I talked about it pretty openly at the beginning of this year, saying like, this book is on pause and I don't know if I'll pick it up again. And yeah, so that's one example of me not hitting my goals and like being okay with it.
Well, and I think I love the piece where it was like, it was frustrating you to even work on it, but also not have it complete, like battling with that. Like yeah. If I spend one more ounce of effort into this thing, like I'm going to go crazy. And if I don't see it done, I'm going to go crazy. And so gut checking with yourself, I feel like not on a big level of a book, but I personally feel like in the season of social media right now and all of the different marketing tactics that are out there, like I think Instagram is that for so many people. Like they got a little like headway and they like made it and then they wanted to explode it further and they wanted to have that be their like, you know, get sponsors and get all of these different type of posts and do all of these different things. I know we've had those same conversations even as early as this year or as recently as this year of talking about how we could utilize Instagram that way. And I feel like all of a sudden, like Instagram just slammed the brakes on so many people. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of it was out of our control, not just our account, but everyone's account. And so we battled mm-hmm. for so long of, okay, but we've talked about how Instagram has been great for our business so often. It has been great for our business so often. It's led to really big conversions, but we literally hate working on it and it's not growing yep. and it isn't the yeah. source of where we want to be pouring our energy. So what do we do about it? And so I think it, no matter if it's a big Instagram account or a book for y'all or a product or clients or like opening up a new realm of your business, like really gut check with you. If it's not making you happy, you get to make those decisions. You get to decide.
Yeah, who said?
Exactly. You get to decide if you keep pouring energy into it or if you cut it.
I think we have so many self-inflicted wounds and like, you know, things that we're really, put the pressure on ourselves. No one is coming into your office and saying, you need to do this to be great at what you do. And yet we've decided that there's this laundry list of things. Some of them are like truly aspirational and we really do want to achieve them. And that's awesome. But there's also things I guarantee that are on your list that you put there because you just feel the social pressure to do them. And I really want to give you permission, you know, well, not only cut it, but like sometimes we don't want to like let go all the way. And so my mom told me this story about her therapist literally telling her to put things on the shelf. And if you need to visualize a shelf and saying like, I want to put this tactic or this strategy or this goal, like I'm not deleting it. I'm not starting over. I'm just actively putting it away for now. And I can come back to it if and when I'm ready, if that's ever a thing.
I usually call this the parking lot for my business. So I just like
move that car
put
over there.
The idea in a parking lot. There it goes. Right. And just like parking it because that gives me permission to revisit it later and check in with it and be like, gut check, what's going on? And you know what? Something that you said, Emily, super resonated with me. What I gave myself in that moment of like indecision, you know, Abigail, you said permission, and that's really what it was. Like giving yourself permission to decide to not do anything with it, right? That's a choice. And like when we make a choice, or even if we're not making a choice, that is also a choice. So yeah, it was just cool to be able to say, I set a goal, I didn't achieve it, and I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah. So consider this, guys, your big fat permission to build your shelf and sit some shit on it. And it's okay if you don't want to have the same goals or strategies. That's why we will never, ever, ever be the educators that are like, you have to do, it's this thing that's the crucial piece of your success, because it never is one thing. We will never, ever rely just on Instagram or just on writing a book or just on blogging or just on whatever. That's never been like the one piece that's made everything work, because sometimes those things just don't work for everyone. And it's fine. Totally. Awesome.
So let's jump into talk strategy to me. And I want to go back to the verticals method for a bit. And if you could give us 3 to 5 action steps, if someone wants to start setting this up and really analyzing what they have on the table and what they could utilize to make this work, what are 3 to 5 things they need to do this week to get started on that?
Yeah. So go to, can I just plug a link so that we can make this easier? So it's reinaandco.com/verticals, and you'll see a post about this. There's a Trello version of the verticals organizational strategy. And so you can start popping in your links and popping in your ideas. And the thing about this verticals method is that it's a grid, but you don't have to fill in all the boxes. Mm-hmm. I give you full permission to fill in a couple or none at all, you know, and really just look at it. And if you have intellectual property, i.e. things that you have created out of your own brain, you can start plugging it in and see where they kind of fall. Start doing that. And then if you're at a point in your business where you're like, I want to have some visibility, you know, and you want to start pitching to podcasts or start pitching guest opportunities or webinars or whatever, I think it's really important for us to know what is the value that you're bringing to somebody else's audience. And knowing exactly what you're going to be pointing them to, like in this example, I'm pointing you to verticals because it's the thing that we've talked about and I have a thing for you, right? And I'm not trying to be slimy about it, but it's really an opportunity for you to connect with their audience and add a ton of value to them outside of what you're initially talking about in this podcast.
Well, why don't you tell everybody all your other links and where they can hang out with you everywhere else online so they can get a taste of Reina?
Sure. If you're a podcast person and if you want to find another podcast not to binge to do, come find us at The Creative Empire. We talk to a lot of creative entrepreneurs, and it's just a fun journey to listen to both mentoring sessions as well as people who are sort of quote-unquote made it, right? You can find me in the Heart-Centered Biz Bosses group. You can find us there at reinaandco.com/HCBB, and that's where I spend a lot of my time. So awesome. Yeah, come find me there.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was super fun.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our Creative Template Shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode. Send it to a friend who needs to hear it and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.